If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to 2 Corinthians. We would like to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We started studying this passage of Scripture this past Wednesday night. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's one particular expression that we didn't look at that I want to primarily concentrate on this morning, but I encourage you to think about all of these words. We'll probably look at the expression we did not study Wednesday night and then go back and look at it in its context. Please look in your Bibles now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Would like to read. I'll read verses 10 and 11 and then come down to verses 18 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Listen, please, to verses 10 and 11. The Word of God says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, does God, let me just pause here and ask you this, does God judge his people according to their works while they live here in this world? Indeed, he does. This is not talking about us appearing before the judgment seat of Christ at the end of the time world and us receiving according to what we have done. It's talking about God is on his throne. Jesus Christ is king of his kingdom, and Jesus is judging his people according to their works while they live here in this world. The Word of God says that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save, what are the next two words? Or he shall save his people from their sins. That's who he saved. He didn't try to save anybody. He didn't offer to save anybody. But he saved his people from their sins. And it's a people so great that no man can number out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe. Some people say, well, he just saved a few people. That's contrary to the teaching of God's Word. God saved a far greater number of people than we can ever begin to comprehend. But he saved his people from their sins. And the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, the Word of God says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And it says, the Lord shall judge. You know what the next two words are there? He judges his people according to their works. The same people that were saved by the blood of Christ at Calvary and delivered us from eternal hell, God judges his people while they live here in this earth. We, you notice the wording here, the Apostle Paul includes himself in standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Look again at verse 10. He says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Did Paul have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ? Do we have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ? Christ is continuously judging us according to our works while we live here in this world. And if our works are good and pleasing to God, God will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the what?" That's right, it's the kingdom. But the wording there is, "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." What is the kingdom? It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. When does God allow us to enter into this kingdom of heaven that God has prepared for his obedient children while they live here in this earth? It's when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ and God is pleased with what we've been doing. He allows us to enter into that feeling of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And it's a great blessing. However, if our works are not pleasing to God, God will speak to us and he will shut us out of the kingdom. Just like those five foolish virgins that did not keep their light shining. They were not shut out of eternal heaven, but they were shut out of the kingdom of heaven. That whole parable, as well as every parable in the New Testament, every parable is about the kingdom of heaven and about that feeling of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's all Because we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we either, as God's children, we either experience a heaven on earth because of our obedience, or we experience a hell on earth because of our disobedience. Some people don't understand there's an eternal heaven and eternal hell, but there's a kingdom of heaven and a hell that God's disobedient children experience here. Did Jonah go to hell? Yes. Jonah didn't die and go to hell. Do you remember how Jonah said, "From the belly of hell cried I." Why did Jonah go to hell? Because God told Jonah, "Arise and go to Nineveh," and Jonah arose and fled to Tarshish. He disobeyed the word of God. He disobeyed the commandment of God, and Jonah suffered in a hell while he lived here on this earth. And likewise, you and I, sometimes we experience a hell here on this earth. There are a lot of God's children today that are in a hell here on this earth. You ever been there? You ever suffered the judgments of God? You ever felt the chastening hand of God in your life? Have you ever been removed from fellowship with God? Have you ever tried to pray and you couldn't find the Lord? It's a horrible feeling to need to feel God's presence and you can't find Him. So he says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And then he says in verse 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Now what's he saying in that 11th verse, first part of that verse, when he says, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men"? The Apostle Paul to me is saying there, "Since I know the seriousness of the judgment of God on His people while they live here on this earth, I'm out there trying to persuade men not to go to heaven when they die, but I'm trying to persuade God's people to live the way the Word of God says for them to live, so that they will be saved from a hell and the judgments of God to the kingdom of heaven while they live." So he says, "I'm persuading men because I know the what?" What does he say? "Knowing therefore the what?" The terror of the Lord. You know, a lot of God's children don't know about the terror of the Lord. They just think they're having bad luck. They just think bad things are happening and they don't know why. Listen, brethren, God judges His people according to their works. And so Paul says, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." The Apostle Paul was working and laboring, preaching and teaching people that he came in contact with, telling them about the terror of the Lord and telling them about the blessings of the Lord. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It's not one time, but many times in our lives we appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now come down to verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, the Word of God says, "And all things are of God." This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. The Word of God says, "And all things are of God, who hath," listen carefully now, "who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ." What has God already done? Do you see that that's past tense, "who hath reconciled"? God has already reconciled us to Himself by Christ Jesus. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, He reconciled us to Himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now that's a work that we have to do. God has already reconciled us to Himself by Christ Jesus, and He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you see the connection of this to Second Corinthians 5:11, where Paul says, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men"? I have a ministry and you have a ministry, and that ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. I need to reconcile my ways to God's way. I need to reconcile my thoughts to God's truth. And I also need to be working to reconcile you to God's way and you to God's truth. Does it make a difference what you believe? You know, some people say about going to church, it doesn't really make any difference what you believe. It does make a difference. That's the doctrine of the devil when you tell people it doesn't make any difference what you believe. It does make a difference. Jesus said, or rather God's Word says, "They that worship Him," well, Jesus said it, didn't He? In John 4:24, Jesus said, "They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." If we don't have the truth, we need to be searching for the truth. If we don't have the truth, if I'm not preaching the truth right now, I'm not worshiping God. Because God's Word says, "They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Truth is important. God's Word says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. If this church is not upholding the truth of God's Word, it's not the church of Jesus Christ. It's only while we uphold the banner and standard of truth and righteousness that we are the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And when we are doing what we're supposed to do, God will bless us and fill us with His Spirit. So God's given us the ministry of what? Of reconciliation. Are you a minister? Should you be a minister? Okay. Are you a preacher? There's a difference in a preacher and a minister. So we use the word minister today to mean like just preachers or ministers. But brethren, all of you are supposed to be ministers. Everybody here, you're supposed to be a minister. All of us are ministers. God's given us the ministry. He's writing to the church at Corinth. And he says to the church, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Should you be out there trying to reconcile people to God's way? When you see people doing things wrong, if you love them, you know the first and great commandments, love God. Second is love your neighbor as yourself. If I see you walking contrary to God's Word and I don't say anything to you, and I know the terror of the Lord and I know what God does to His people when they walk contrary to His Word, I just don't love you. Do you understand that? If I see you walking contrary to God's Word and I don't say anything to you, it's because I don't love you. That's the bottom line. When a church does not care about her members, they'll let her members do any way, live any way they want to, and do what they want to, and the church will never open their mouth. Why? They don't know the terror of the Lord, or else if they do know the terror of the Lord, they don't care about their members. Now, verse 19, after he says that God has reconciled us to Himself, that's our eternal salvation, and God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's being saved to the kingdom of heaven. Verse 19 says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." You know what the word of reconciliation is that we must use in our ministry of reconciliation? What do you think the word of reconciliation is? The Bible. Okay? God's given us the Word of God, and that's what I must use to try to convert you from the error of your way, and you convert me from the error of my way. It's the Word of God. The Word of reconciliation is the Bible, the Word of God. And then in verse 20 he says, "Now then," listen carefully to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. He says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." I want to just stop right there. And that's the main thought that's on my heart this morning, is "now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." Now, if I don't know what an ambassador is, if I do not know what an ambassador is, I'm probably not going to be a good ambassador for Christ, am I? So the main thing I want us to think about this morning is, what is an ambassador? What does it mean that we are, right now, that we are ambassadors for Christ? Well, I've written down, I studied a lot about ambassador. I've written down the definition, three different definitions that are inseparably connected, but I want you to listen to three sentences that give you a definition of what an ambassador is. And then I want you to think, now, am I an ambassador for Christ? Are you an ambassador? Paul says we're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. Here's what the definition is of an ambassador. You know, Does the United States have ambassadors? Name one place we have an ambassador. Brother Richard, do you know of any place we have an ambassador?
About every major country.
All right. Just about every major country, we have an ambassador. That is, the United States sends a person over there that represents the United States in that country. Now, there's a clear picture here if you'll follow this. An ambassador is a representative of the highest rank. I want you to remember that. You don't choose a fool to be an ambassador. He's going to be over there representing you. Representing you and representing your government and representing the king. And so you send, the Word of God says, a representative of the highest rank sent by one government or ruler to another. In other words, an ambassador is sent by a king or by its government to another country. And remember that, sent to another country. Okay? An ambassador lives in a foreign country where he speaks and acts in behalf of his ruler. Listen again. An ambassador lives in a foreign country. Are you living in a foreign country? You know, I think one of the biggest problems we have is we think this is our world. Listen, brethren, this isn't my world. The word, first of all, it's God's world, but I'm talking about the heathen world out there, the world in which we live. Do you know what the saints of God in the Old and New Testament declared? They declared, we are strangers and pilgrims in the earth. You hear that? Well, now, those men who are ambassadors in these other countries, that are ambassadors for the United States, they're in a strange country. That's not their country. That's not their home. They're just over there representing the king or president here in our country. Listen, our King, Jesus Christ, has sent us to be ambassadors to the world. We're not part of the world. We're different than the world. Because God has chosen us out of the world. And yet God has sent us into the world to be an ambassador for Christ. Now as an ambassador, what are you supposed to be out there doing? There's a work for an ambassador, isn't there? There's a great work for an ambassador. Let me give you the third part of this definition now. An ambassador is an official messenger with a special errand. An ambassador is an official messenger. Do you know why I can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's because God has called me to be a minister of the gospel. Do you know why you can be a minister? I'm talking about a minister, not a preacher. Do you know why you can be a minister of reconciliation? It's because God has called you to be a minister of reconciliation. Do you know why you can be an ambassador for Christ Jesus? It's because God has called you. God has chosen you to be an ambassador for Christ. And you're supposed to be, as an ambassador, you know, some ambassadors, they may sit around over in those foreign countries and just twiddle their thumbs and they may just eat and drink and be merry. I don't know what all those ambassadors do to you, but they may waste a lot of their time. I think there are a lot of ambassadors for Jesus Christ that are wasting their time. There are a lot of ambassadors. They've been chosen by God. They've been sent by God out there into the world, into a foreign country, and they're not having a profound effect on that country. And we're supposed to, as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, and that's what God's called us to be, is ambassadors for Christ. We're supposed to be having a profound effect on the world. That's what Jesus was talking about when He says, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth out there in that world. You're strangers and pilgrims, but you're the salt of the earth. And you're the light of the world. If you are a what? If you are an ambassador, then you're going to be having a profound effect out there. Can you have an effect on other children of God's lives? Can you help convert them? I don't do anything to get anybody into eternal heaven. Jesus has already done that. He lays that foundation several times in this passage of Scripture. You know how many people I've ever saved from eternal hell to eternal heaven? I keep a record. You know, I keep a list. You know how many I've saved from eternal hell to eternal heaven? Zero. You know who saves? You know, the only one who's ever saved anybody from eternal hell to eternal heaven is Jesus Christ. But God has given me a work to save my brothers and sisters in Christ from the error of their way. And James says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, can I convert you and can you convert me? Yes. Knowing the terror of the Lord, I'm going to tell you, you have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm an ambassador. I have a work to do. I have a ministry of reconciliation. I have to tell you from the word of reconciliation what will happen if you don't change and what will happen if you do change. Because I'm an ambassador. And I didn't choose to be an ambassador. I was chosen to be an ambassador. And I didn't just run out there in the world. I was sent out there in the world. And you're sent out there in the world. You have a work to do at your job. Did you know that? You're an ambassador when you're at work. Doesn't matter where you go or where you stand or what you're doing, you represent your king. It makes a difference what you're doing out there. You represent Jesus Christ. And you're out there with a message, and you're out there with on an errand. And you better be doing what Jesus tells you to do, because if you don't, Jesus will call his ambassador. Listen, our president may not know what our ambassador to Turkey is doing. Isn't that right? He may not know. We've got a different king. My king knows what I'm doing every day, every moment. And he's going to judge me as an ambassador for him. He's chosen me and he sent me, and I better be a good ambassador for Jesus Christ. Every day, wherever I go, I represent my king. You represent your king. This church represents her king. We're ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Back up in your Bibles just a moment. Look at John chapter 15. Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. I want you to see that there's a difference in God's people and the world. And I understand and I know that some of these scriptures I'm going to go to, he's talking primarily to his apostles and he's talking to his disciples. But brethren, these scriptures are applicable to you and me today. In John chapter 15, listen to verses 18 and 19. John chapter 15, think about that we are ambassadors for Christ. And as an ambassador, we are strangers. You know, the Apostle Paul and Peter and others, they talk about we're strangers. You know, some of us don't look too strange. Did you know that? You know why? If I don't look strange to the world, you know why I don't look strange to the world? It's because I've conformed to the world. And I'm not to be conformed to the world. I'm to be recognized as a peculiar people, a different people. My king's different than a lot of people's kings. My king is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it makes no difference what my president says is legal. If my Lord says something is illegal, my president is wrong. It doesn't make any difference what our land says is legal. They can legalize abortion. They can legalize homosexuality. They can legalize all kinds of things that are illegal according to God's Word. You know what your ministry to do? Your ministry is to go out there and declare what the truth is and show the error of the way that our country is going. John chapter 15, and everybody just really appreciates this, you know. You just go out there and tell them where they're going wrong. They'll just hug you and say, oh, I'm so glad you told me. Listen, brethren, they won't do that. Did they do that when Jesus, you know what Jesus did everywhere he went? He'd say, woe unto you. You better watch out. You're headed down the wrong path. He would tell the people what they were doing wrong. And that's what my job and your job is to do. And I need to examine myself. We all need to consider our own ways. But we also need to love our brethren enough to work with them. Now, the world is going to hate you. Okay? If you want to be a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. That's what the Word of God plainly declares. You want to go out there in the world and you don't want to be an ambassador for Christ, you want to just be a part of the world, you're headed for trouble. You'll learn about the terror of the Lord when you start being a friend of the world. Because when you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. You stop being an ambassador for Christ, you become an enemy of Jesus Christ when you conform to the world. John 15, verses 18 and 19, Jesus says, if the world hate you, why is the world going to hate you? Well, it's not because you're just sitting back talking about election and predestination. That doesn't make people real mad. I'll tell you what makes people real mad is when you talk to them about what they're doing wrong in their life. That's what makes them mad. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Listen, verse 19. John 15, verse 19 says, if ye were of the world, are you of the world? Well, now sometimes I look a lot like the world. Did you know that? Sometimes you can't tell me from the world. And that's a shame and a disgrace to my king. Jesus will judge me when I get in that condition. Jesus says here, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, Therefore, the world hateth you. If the world doesn't hate you, it's because you're not being a good ambassador for Jesus Christ. The Word of God says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're not suffering persecution, it's because you're not living godly in Christ Jesus. Because you're not being a good ambassador for Jesus Christ. Look at one other scripture, John 17. Watch this now. John 17, verse 18. Was Jesus, let me ask you this question. Was Jesus an ambassador? What's an ambassador? Ambassador is a messenger, a special messenger sent on an errand and with a message. Was he sent into a foreign country? Who sent him? Who sent Jesus down into this world? God the Father sent God the Son down into this world. Was he a messenger, an ambassador? Now listen to what he says in John 17, verse 18. As thou hast sent me, he's praying to the Father. This is Jesus praying to the Father. And he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Has God sent you into the world? He sent you. You're an ambassador. Has a person of high rank, a king, has he sent you into the world? As the Father hath sent me into the world, even so send I them into the world. You've been sent. You've got a message. Part of the message is certainly telling people about the amazing grace of God in saving us from our sin. Did you know that's part of the message I have? When I find a child of God that's broken and feels like I'm going to die and go to hell because I'm unworthy and I'll never make it to heaven, I can tell them from the word of reconciliation, I can tell them about the amazing grace of God. And I can tell them that God loves them. And it's not according to their works, but it's according to the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. They'll be in heaven one day. But when I find a child of God that's in open rebellion, rebelling against God, turning against God, has no feeling of conviction, I'm going to tell him about nothing but the judgment of God. Because that's my message to unrepentant sinners. Is God's going to judge you for your works? Do you need to tell people about the grace of God when they're brokenhearted? Do you need to tell them about the judgments of God when they're not brokenhearted? That's part of our message. Who sent you on this message? Who sent you on this journey as a messenger? Jesus Christ. Go with me to. Go with me back just a moment to Mark chapter 1. Well, let's go to Matthew. We'll look at one page before that. Look at Matthew 28. Here's Jesus sending out his disciples in Matthew chapter 28. This is right after his resurrection. Matthew chapter 28. I want you to listen to what he sent them out to do. He's sending them out as ambassadors to represent him, to do something to other people, for other people. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, listen to verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore. Is that a message? A messenger sending somebody out? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Are you going to be a stranger and a pilgrim if you're out there teaching all nations? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. What's part of my responsibility as a minister, as a pastor of the church? I'm to teach all nations and to baptize them. Is water baptism taught in the Word of God? Is it important that God's people submit themselves, take up their cross in water baptism? Indeed it is. Is it important that you stand before God's people and say, I love Jesus Christ. He's died for me. He saved me from my sins. And I want to be a disciple of Christ. And I want to be a part of His true church in the earth. Is that something important for you to do? Indeed it is. Teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Listen to verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, what am I supposed to be teaching you? What I think, what I feel? I'm supposed to teach you the Word of God. That's right. Teaching them to observe, that means do. Observe all things that I've commanded you. We need to be doers of God's word and not hearers only. We need to be teaching others to be doers of God's word and not hearers only. In the end of Mark, the way he expresses it, he says, go and preach the gospel. Go and preach the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? The word gospel means good news. Does everybody understand that? The word gospel means good news. There's the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling people about the good news about Jesus Christ saving us from our sins. But part of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not only telling them about Jesus saving them from their sins, but part of the gospel of Jesus Christ is called the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. That's what it's used repeatedly. You know what Jesus preached everywhere he went? The scripture says that everywhere he went, he preached the gospel of what? The gospel of the kingdom of heaven, or the gospel of the kingdom of God. That was the gospel. He was sent. He was an ambassador, and he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. Is that good news? Listen. The head's going both ways that time. Is the gospel of the kingdom good news? It's the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Is the kingdom of heaven good news? Yes, it's good news. Why is it good news? Listen, brethren, I'm happy to tell you not just that one day you can be in the eternal heaven, but you can be in the kingdom of heaven while you live here on this earth. It's the kingdom of heaven that God's people need to hear about, know about, and understand so they can experience that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And to know you can have it right now. To have it right now. That's a great blessing, to be in the kingdom of heaven. That's the best thing on this earth, brethren. It doesn't get any better than that. It's good news. I love to preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Love to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of us need to be preachers? No. What all of us need to be? Ambassadors. Ambassadors. God's called us, me and you, to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. May God help us to be a good ambassador, telling other people. We represent Jesus Christ. We need to tell people all about Jesus and all about His kingdom. May God help us to be a good ambassador in this world, is my prayer for Christ's sake.